You're about to listen to a talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the beautiful Academy of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. If you want more information on our center, please see our Facebook page or our website. Thanks for listening. I hope these words of wisdom make a positive difference in your life.
Who here knows what it means to miss New Orleans? I do. Oh, you have New Orleans in your rearview mirror, and you're like, wait, I haven't done this yet, and I haven't done that yet. So, Tom, thank you for sharing. Tom was here right at 10 o'clock. There were three of us here right at 10 o'clock. And if you understand Tom loves doing what he does. He had his headphones on, and he was just jamming. No music was coming out for us that were sitting out here, but he sure gave us an entertaining show this morning. But that just shows how he loves what he does. I love what I do. I'm glad that you're here this Sunday morning. And I've got a really good talk for you, but I think John just gave you my whole talk. So he was trying to explain, and the thing is we don't talk. I kind of give him a one-sentence blurb of what it is that I'm talking about, and he takes off with it, and then there he goes, and he gives my talk. So, but it's good. It shows how we all kind of flow together and everything like that. We say things up on the stage, and Paul hates it when we use just these jargon things and everything, but I'm going to give you a jargon thing because I want you to walk out with in your mind this jargon. I am first cause to my experience. I am first cause to my experience. I am first cause to my experience. Now, why do I say this? Because it's the truth of your being, it's the truth of my being. I say I am first cause to my experience, I want to say that you're first cause to your experience, and as a religious science minister, somebody comes up to me and I do some treatment work with them and I say, well, you know you're first cause to your experience. Oh, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. What it means is people leave this teaching in troves because of this one saying. This one saying. It means people who do come to this teaching and stay, their lives are changed because of this saying. So they stay and they really learn how to use this teaching. I am first cause to my experience. And what does it mean? Whatever experience I am having this very minute, I am first cause of it. If the experience I am having this very minute is heartburn, because I ate huevos rancheros this morning, I am first cause to my experience. But you have to understand, I can't blame the huevos rancheros. The huevos rancheros were cause to my experience, but they were not first cause to my experience. First cause was the decision to eat the huevos rancheros. It was a choice to have that. It all was a thought that started the whole chain of causation for me to have my experience this very minute of heartburn. We as people want to blame the huevos rancheros. It wasn't the huevos. It was my choice. This is why we lose so many people in this teaching, because why? They'd rather blame the huevos rancheros. People are smart, but people also are lazy. They don't want to take on the blame. They would rather blame the huevos than blame the choice of thought. The thought is first cause. The huevos is secondary causation. It all started with that first cause of, I am hungry. I am hungry. Then that thought process continues. What do I want to eat? Do I want hard-boiled eggs, waffles, huevos, rancheros? If I choose hard-boiled eggs, I would not be having the experience of heartburn. If I choose the waffles, I would not be experiencing that heartburn. But I chose huevos. That's my experience of heartburn. Ernest Holmes, on page 2 of the text, you can't even get 2 paragraphs in page 1, already on page 2, and he says the science of mind is the study of first cause. He says in the glossary of the science of mind text that first cause is that which is the cause of all things, the uncreated from which all creation springs. It is both masculine and feminine in its nature, and it includes the intermediate principle of creative activity. I know I don't like those glossary terms. We're confused. You sit in class and you argue over those glossary terms back there. So just what does this mean? The masculine is the choice. We have an infinite number of choices out there all the time. The feminine is the creative medium which the choice is placed. The principle of creative activity is the law which unfolds that choice. It's like choosing which seed you want to grow, placing it in the creative meeting, and a law takes over and just makes that grow out. That's the same thing that happens in our lives. So this is where you hear all is love and all is law. All is love is that choice, the love. All that is given is yours. All that I have is yours. The love is hard-boiled eggs. It's waffles. It's huevos rancheros. The law just takes that choice and lets it grow. The law of hard-boiled eggs gives me a hard-boiled egg experience. The law of waffles, I bet you didn't know there was a law of waffles. The law of waffles gives me a waffle experience. And the law of huevos rancheros, you know what that experience is. This is where it gets good. Most people blame the huevos. Most people want to point to the effect item and say, that is the cause of my experience. That is the cause of my experience. And this is what average people do. This is living at the law of averages. We are all living in that law of averages, but we have a choice to step above the law of averages and live at this level of cause and effect. That's what we teach here every single Sunday. That's what we teach in classes, is to move into this law of cause and effect. We teach not to blame the huevos, but to examine the thought. Thus, the science of mind. That's what we teach. For it was truly the thought that made you have the experience, not the huevos. This applies to every aspect of our life. Whatever experience we're having, we want to blame the last thing we saw that caused the experience. So we look at the huevos, we blame the experience. We don't want to go back any further in the chain of causation than the last thing we saw. We just want to go there. Comcast has a great advertising thing right now. So you've seen their ads where you get the Comcast bill and it makes you do this and it makes you do this and it makes you do this. And now this final one is that he's chasing imaginary butterflies and a sale that's going on and everything like that. Well, we don't want to go all the way back to the first cause of getting our Comcast bill. We don't want to go that far. We just want to look at the huevos. So this is animalistic behavior in our thinking when we just go, this was cause, this is effect, that's it. We don't want to go back and look at this bigger picture of thing. But for the same reason that most people leave this teaching, that they are first cause of their experience, is exactly why I love this teaching. I am first cause to my experience. If I don't like the experience I'm having, I'm first cause to a new experience. It's up to me to go ahead and choose that. Now, there's some experiences in my life where I don't know where I came up with the first thought to make the experience I'm having. But if I contemplate it a while, I can usually come up with a thought process that started the whole thing to have this experience. Sometimes it's easy for me to digest, sometimes it's not. A really big example is this great recession we're just coming out of. The average person said they were experiencing hard times during the Great Recession. They blame their hard times on the recession, not their thinking. It's easier to take if you can blame the recession. Let me blame it on something else, something outside of me. Of course, you may say, I didn't have anything to do with the recession. But when you understand this teaching, when you understand the law of cause and effect, if you experience the recession, guess what? You are first cause to your experience. But in this teaching, we want to raise ourselves out of the law of averages. We want to raise ourselves into this law of cause and effect. Because do you know, during the quote-unquote Great Recession, millionaires were made. Millionaires were made during the Great Recession. You know what? Forbes' list of top millionaires kept growing during the Great Recession. Why is this? How can this be? Didn't they know a recession was going on? Yes, they did, but they did not let that be cause to their experience. They choose something else. The average person would see the effect of recession and then allow that to be the cause of their experience. That's called secondary causation. Secondary causation is when I see an effect and I make a choice based on that effect down here. First cause is a choice not based on anything out there in the world of effect. First cause makes a choice here. in mind. First choice is exactly what John was speaking when he was up here. Not just my mind, but an aspect of my mind that is universal mind. An aspect of my mind that is universal intelligence, I liked saying. So most people living in the average life saw the fall of the banks and the fall of the economy, and they made choices at that level, the fall. And they fell because it was the world of effect that they were making those choices of. Some people saw the fall of the banks, saw the fall of the economy, and made choices not on that level, but on a different level. They did not make choices based on the world of effect level, on the physical level. They made choices based on the metaphysical level. On the level above the physical is where they made that choice. Not on banks failing, not on the economy failing. And that is what we are here. We are a metaphysical teaching above the physical. We are a teaching healing ministry. And what we teach is the law of cause and effect, not the law of averages. And the healing occurs from the level of first cause and not secondary cause. So how does all of this affect you and me? And this is where my talk title comes from, How Do You Cure a Calloused Heart? And how many of you know what I mean when I say, do you have a calloused heart? Do you know, I know a few of my friends I was talking to, they're like, oh, I need to be there Sunday. I need to hear you, David. They're not here. They'd rather stay at home with their calloused heart. So, I attended a seminar 2 weeks ago. That's why my talk title was almost exactly what Paul talked about last week. But 2 weeks ago, I went to a seminar, and it was like, how to uncallous a heart. And I thought that was a great talk title. How do you uncallous a heart? So does anybody in here think they're developing a calloused heart this very minute? No hands, because we're religious scientists. We know better. We've been to this teaching. We know that. But anyway, if you do, or you have a friend that you know is, this means you're not starting to care anymore. This means you're not interested in life anymore. This means you're protecting your heart from loving. This means you had a bad relationship in the past and don't want another. So you start a secondary causation, world of effect based on the last relationship, rather than the first cause that there's unlimited love out there. So we make a secondary choice on there because of a past relationship. This means you don't love your job because there's no chance for advancement or it just isn't challenging anymore. So you make choices from that level of understanding rather than the truth about you, which is the universe is an infinitely creative place that you can choose your creativity for your career. We can do that, but we don't. We look at our job and where we're stuck and why I was held back, and then I start to try to make a decision based on that versus the metaphysical, the greater understanding. This means that you can't lose weight. You've given up losing weight. I've just tried and tried and tried. I look at my body, I see the effect, and that's the choice that I make from, is that's just my body. I can't do that. Rather than the understanding that the vitality and the health of the universe are ours. So we need to choose from that level rather than the body level. This means you live on a limited income and know it's not going to get any better. So you make choices based on the limited income, the decision down here, rather than from where you truly stand, which is in the middle of an abundant universe. So we get caught up in our small ideas of thinking down here, and then we start making choices based down here on this smaller level of thinking, and that's secondary causation. So by my small living, do I make a small choice, and then I guess what? The law of cause and effect works perfectly. I get more of a small life. So what I'm trying to do is say, forget that last understanding. Forget that last situation, world of effect, because that's a fact of you, but it's not the truth of you. The truth of you is here. The truth of you is metaphysical. The truth of you is above all of that. So not even knowing that we're making choices on effect level items, our hearts become very calloused. And I like to use the saying, the calloused heart is a terrible thing to waste. You guys aren't old enough to know what that is. There is a cure, and the cure is right here. It's right here in mind, my mind, your mind. Not out there, not out there. The dream job is not out there. The dream lover is not out there. The dream body is not out there. The dream abundance is not out there. So I want to give you three examples of this. A truly calloused heart, a heart on its way to becoming calloused, and every single one of us sitting in here this morning, what we're doing with our hearts and what we can do with our hearts. I'm going to tell you about those three things. A truly calloused heart, you know me with props. I would love to have a heart here. Truly human. And just show you. I've held one in my hand. I was a respiratory therapist. I held lungs in my hand. It was great because they gave us a lung from a healthy person and from somebody that smoked, and you are like, this is the same organ. You couldn't believe the difference between those two. So I've held a heart in my hand before, and I know what it looks like, but I'm not going to spare all of you with all of that, so don't be freaked out or grossed out. I'm not pulling out a heart. But the story of the truly calloused heart, and again, I'm getting a little bit more personal with you. Remember a few weeks ago I got personal with you. I wanted to share my time within the Army, and I shared all of that with you. So I want to share another personal story with you, just so you know a little bit about me. Paul shares with you about his mother, so I'll share with you about my father on there. It's my family. And if I wanted to really get personal with you and share with my family, it would be an 8-week certificated course on learning how to do all of that. And I know every single one of you could be up here teaching an 8-week class on how we deal with our family. But it's about my dad. My dad's alive. He lives in Naples, Florida. He loves it. The ratio of women to men is 5-1. He loves that. And a few years ago, my dad had to go in for heart replacement surgery. And most times, the heart valve replacement is because the heart valve just doesn't flap anymore. It's just not working in the heart. But not my dad. His heart valve needed to be replaced because it's solidified. It was calloused, and it calloused hard. It calloused to the point of not working anymore. So they did one heart valve replacement with a man-made valve, and guess what? That didn't work. The rest of his heart was really so calloused that that didn't work. He had to go in for a second surgery. The pig valve works perfectly. So he's walking around now with a pig valve. And he's doing fine. So he had an experience of a truly calloused heart. Do you think he wants to take that thought process all the way back to being first caused to his experience? No, not at all. He doesn't want to go there. He'll take it just back to the last world of effect level, which is, oh, it's just my age. Oh, it's just my family history. Oh, we'd rather blame it on those things, because he does not want to sit there and say, I am first cause to my experience. He would never take it to the possibility that his thought process may have started it. But you see, as a kid with two other brothers and a sister, I never heard my dad once say, I love you. Not once. He didn't say it to me. He didn't say it to my brothers and sisters. He didn't say it to my mother. In fact, I can't ever remember my dad ever saying the word love. He didn't say, I love beer, I love football, nothing. So this doesn't necessarily mean he didn't love. He just didn't express it. Each opportunity he had to express was held back. Each a lost opportunity. Another small callous on the heart. Then, all of the small steps of callousing led to a truly calloused heart. Since the pig valve, he's changed. He says the word love a lot. It's really amazing. And I didn't give him my religious science talk to make him change his way. I think he sensed this somewhere in here. And I love my dad too. But you have to understand, for those of you that have been coming here long enough on midweek services, know that I got up there and talked a lot about my dad and about the unloving relationship I was having. So since then, I've seen a calloused heart. I see what a callous, what causes a calloused heart, and I know what a cure for a calloused heart is. The next story I want to share kind of has to do with you and me, and it's in the act of callousing a heart this very minute. It's the story of a man that's currently doing civil contract work in Abu Dhabi. He's married to one of the attorneys that I work with. And again, for those of you around long enough, know this gentleman because he had previously done two tours in Afghanistan. And one of the times while I was there, his wife is so good about sending nice boxes to him all the time and everything. And he realized that there were a lot of soldiers there that were getting nothing. They were getting nothing. So he said, you know, why don't you put out a call to the law firm, which I then came and put out a call to the church back then about gathering up CDs. He said, you'd be surprised what a CD will do for these people. Do y'all know what a CD is? Are you old enough to know? Because I talk about LPs too, and I know that's way beyond your guys' time. So we did a drive at the center and asked for everyone to bring in their old CDs that we could send. You know what? We had thousands of CDs. Thousands of them. We packaged them up. We sent them all back over to Afghanistan. They were greatly, greatly appreciated. So this is the same man that I'm talking about. Two tours in Afghanistan. Currently now he's in Abu Dhabi. He is a civilian contractor and working in Abu Dhabi. He just came home for the last 2 weeks for vacation, so he's coming home, seeing what's going on. His sister lives in Dallas, so he and his wife, they flew to Dallas so he could visit his sister while he was back in the States. And they were at one of these hotels that offers wine, you know, wine from 5 to 6, come down to the lobby and get wine from 5 to 6. They might have cheese for you or something like that. So the waiter loved them. Not only did they get a glass of wine, they got a bottle of wine. They did really good. And they had a great time. But even pure great hospitality knows, bring them a second bottle of wine. So then they had two bottles of wine. They really can't drive at this point. They can't leave to go to dinner. They order more appetizers. And so they just sit there, they listen to a band and everything. And then a third bottle of wine shows up. And they just said yes. They didn't have to drive. They're sitting there in the hotel lobby. They don't have to do anything. They just stayed there. But then it started. The husband started telling the stories of what was really going on in Afghanistan. For protection reasons, to protect his wife from fear, he never shared these stories over all these years. But on this night, this past week, story after story came out. And it wasn't heroic stories. It was the story of war and all the ramifications that war brings. These were horrific stories. And yet this man for years had held all of this in. For years this man was shutting down his heart and callousing it because he was in protection mode. He was going to protect his wife. If his wife knew exactly everything that he was doing over in Afghanistan, she would never have let him go back. So it was protection mode for her, thinking he was doing a good thing. While at the same time shutting down his own heart, he was not able to truly love while not being able to share his life. He couldn't do that. He's in the act of callousing by not sharing this story. And we're each callousing our heart this way, not truly loving with a full heart for some reason or another. Some of us are holding back loving for some reason or another. Some of us don't love with a full heart thinking we're protecting the other. Some of us don't love with a full heart because we're protecting ourselves. We've been hurt in the past. Some of us don't love with a full heart because we don't know how to. My dad didn't know how. And he taught his children the same thing. And from the stories that I hear, his parents taught them exactly the same thing. Since I never heard the words, "I love you" in my house, it was very hard for me to ever say those words. I remember the first time I was in a romantic relationship and someone said those words to me, I just about freaked. Because I didn't know what to say, I emped out, and what did I say? Me too. I couldn't say those words. Why? My heart was calloused as a kid. You don't say those things. And it's not because I didn't love, it was because I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know you were supposed to say it. I didn't know you were allowed to say it. I was callous to say it. I thought it was for a very special occasions, and this isn't that. So I didn't say it. It's very sad that we callous from our family upbringing, and it's only because their hearts were calloused. Their hearts were calloused. So we start loving from that. So it's from our family upbringing. It's only because their hearts. So they parented at that level. We're parenting with our calloused hearts level. So today is a great wake-up call. It's very sad when we start callousing our hearts at this age. I learned from my parents to really callous your heart, protect yourself. Money does not grow on trees. Do you know there's not enough money to go around? So I callous my heart to money. I callous my mind to money. I learned from my parents, boys don't cry. Boys don't cry. And so I'm trying to learn how to ride my bike the very first time without the training wheels. I fall and I get up and I'm, and both parents, boys don't cry. Ah, ah, ah. Boys don't cry. None of you got an ah, 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 ah.
I still get an ah, ah.
So, this guy, I callous my heart with all of that. So we learn from our parents, we learn from our family to callous our hearts. We learn from religion to callous our hearts. Religion tells us they're not like me, we cannot accept them. Our governments say there's a higher class and a lower class, so we callous our hearts. Our race tells us to callous our hearts. Our friends, believe it or not, they protect us in our calloused hearts. Because if we let go of the calloused heart, we just might change. And we'll lose that friend because they might change. So what we do, we talk well of our friends and say, stay in your calloused heart. Don't say anything about this to anybody. Stay there. This is what the mastermind class is all about. Mastermind is going to be your true friends. Mastermind is going to sit there and say, oh no, you are not moving from this point forward with a calloused heart. You're moving from this point forward from that metaphysical level, that higher level. That's what you're moving for. So people who don't know you are going to be the ones that sit there and tell you that. And when you're in the classes long enough, for those of you that have gone through 3, 4, 5 years worth of classes, you learn your classmates, and your classmates start getting good because they start calling you on things. They won't let you make a decision on the world of effect level anymore. They're saying, stop that thinking. That's not the right answer. Go somewhere else. So that's what we're going to be doing there. So back to the man from Abu Dhabi. It took 3 bottles of wine to go from his conscious thoughts, which controlled his mind and controlled his heart, to 3 bottles of wine to finally go down to his subconscious belief patterns that he really wanted to share this with his wife. All along, he wanted to share this with his wife, but boys don't do that. He finally did. The good news, and he doesn't know it, but he just started to let a callous go. He just started to let a callous go. But you know what? It took 3 bottles of wine for him to do it. So, what would we let go of after 3 bottles of wine? What would we share that in our heart of hearts we don't share because we want to protect someone else? What would we share that in our heart of hearts we don't share because we want to protect ourselves? Ah, this is a harder one. We don't want to share our past. If they knew my past, they would never love me. We don't want another broken heart. You know, all men are pigs, is what the girls tell me all the time. I hear it regularly. Our hearts are calloused with these things, and what ends up happening is we don't live our life to its fullest because we have calloused hearts. And we think that's normal. That is the law of averages, which, as I'm telling you, we do not live at. We have a choice to live at something greater. Yes, David's going to throw a Bible quote at you. It's in Matthew 13:15, and I love this when you understand it from a whole different level. For the hearts of these people had become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. For the hearts of these people has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand. And you know what? That's us. We've calloused our hearts so we cannot see, we cannot hear, and we cannot understand. So that brings me to the third group, which is all of us here today. I know a lot of you come to this teaching for a really long time, and you can sit there and say, I don't have a calloused heart. I've learned what this teaching's all about. But you know what? I know people that are sitting in this room that have been in this teaching even longer than you and are very calloused in their hearts. I know someone who's gone all the way through practitioner training and doesn't see a calloused heart. She's been living with a calloused heart, and that is now her experience. She's bright, she's beautiful, but while in grad school way back then, she had a terrible relationship with a guy that didn't treat her so nicely. That hardened her heart. It calloused her hearts. So now she doesn't see. She doesn't see when guys are checking her out. I have to point that out to her, that somebody's checking you out. She doesn't hear. She has guys hitting on her, and she replies with a scientific answer. You know, like the crew in the Big Bang Theory, they really don't know how to do it, so the best thing to do is to come up with a scientific answer. She doesn't understand because her heart won't let her. So we think the Bible is some big mumble jumble of words when actually it's trying to teach us we are first cause to our experience. It says the hearts of these people were calloused, they could not hear, they could not see, they could not understand. And it's happening right here within this woman. We think the Bible has nothing to do with us. We're religious scientists. Unfortunately, it's just a book about consciousness. Consciousness unfolding. That's all that it is. And that is what we're doing here this morning, unfolding our consciousness to a greater understanding of ourselves and our lives, that there is a cure for a calloused heart. And it is all right here. It is all right here in mind. It is understanding I am first cause to my experience and truly understanding what that means. It means if I have a calloused heart and I'm having a calloused experience, I can change it. This is the best news ever. This is why people should be flocking to the center rather than leaving because of this same sentence. Yes, I am first cause to my experience. If for any reason I think the experience I'm having is because of something outside of me, like the economy, the huevos rancheros, then I am right. I'm right. I have chosen that I am right because at world of a fuck level, that is where my experience is coming from, and therefore, I start looking for my cure at that level. And if I think the experience I'm having is because of something inside of me, then I am right too. I am right with that. And that too is where my cure is, here, in mind. One choice is secondary causation, running around, putting out fires all day long. One choice is first cause. Doesn't even deal with the fires. It deals with knowing and understanding. And this knowing is learned. It's something we have had all of our lives, but we've been taught to callous it. We just finished the book of John in class, and that was all about having the nerve to step into your full humanity. John invites you to step into your full humanity. What does that mean? Your full humanity has within it your divinity. But throughout the book of John, people are invited to step into their full humanity, but they can't do it. Nicodemus can't do it. A few other people can't do it. They can't because you know what? There's safety in their callous religion. There's safety in their callous government. They invited a calloused race in there. They're saying, you know, you shouldn't be hanging out with the Samaritans. And Jesus goes and invites the Samaritan into this greater understanding. The Samaritan says, yes, I will step into that full humanity. But others said, no, I can't stay there because I'd rather stay in my calloused religion where there's safety. I'd rather stay in my callous sexual identification because there's safety. I'd rather stay in my calloused whatever it is because there's safety. They choose to live there. They choose to live there, but others are invited to step into their full humanity, living a life from an uncalloused heart, and they do. And the learning starts this week with TLC, Treatment Learning Clinic on Tuesday nights, and with the Mastermind class on Thursday nights. In both places, we're going to learn to announce my heart is calloused in this area, and this is my experience. I cannot hear, I cannot see, and I cannot understand. And we will learn to start a new chain of causation from that point. a whole new chain of causation, a new chain of thinking. For a new experience, we will be making decisions at the metaphysical level. You will be looking down here at these things. I don't like this, I don't like this, I want this, I don't want this. And it's kind of like, those are all good things, but now what we're going to do is start our thinking chain of causation up here with a greater understanding at a metaphysical level. Making decisions from the truth about ourselves rather than making decisions based on the facts about ourselves or the very last experience that I had, like my huevos rancheros. I don't want to make a decision from that level. I am going to be making decisions from first cause. I am first cause to my experience, and it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So let us take that into our understanding and our knowingness, that what is this first cause, but this first cause is nothing but the love of the universe expressing itself in an infinite number of ways. It's expressing itself as our galaxy and even beyond our galaxy. It's coming down all the way to our solar system, all the way down to our planets, all the way down to Earth, all the way down to this room as we're sitting here right now. That is first cause expressing at its infinite variety, expressing each uniquely as each one of us. The expression doesn't stop there. It is from this point that a choice can be made. And we truly choose from this day forward to choose on a greater understanding of life and the truth about ourselves. The truth about ourselves is we are prettier than we ever thought we were. We're more magnificent than we ever thought we were. We are more powerful than we ever thought we were. We have more courage than we ever thought we were. We have more wisdom. We have more love than we ever thought we did. We stop looking down here in the world of effect level for our courage and also for our love. We go up to this greater understanding that that is a divine aspect of us that is already there. We've just calloused ourselves to those understandings. And it is from this day forward that the calluses come off. It is from this day forward that I leave this place with a very pliable heart. My heart beats in tune with the universe. Every heart beats in tune with the universe. The universal heartbeat is one that is not held back by any past performance, any past experience, or any understanding of what's going on in the world of effect level. The universal level of where this is all happening is within each one of us right here and right now. We're the ones that need to recognize it. We're the ones that need to announce it. Our word is a very powerful word. So we choose great words. We choose the truth about ourselves. And being first cause to our experience, those words that are planted in that medium start to grow. Our experience starts changing. All of the darkness falls away. There is nothing to fight in the darkness. It just easily goes away, as John said. So we choose those thoughts. The greatness, the vitality, the abundance of the universe is my abundance. The creativity of the universe is my creativity. The love of the universe is my love. The health and vitality of the universe is my health and vitality now. From that point, I step out into the world. The rest of the world wants to live at the law of averages. The rest of the world has a calloused heart. We no longer can live in the law of averages. We step above, we step into this law of cause and effect. We understand that we truly have a say about how we're living our lives. We too can truly say, you announce that there's a recession going on, but I choose greater thoughts. I understand what's going on. You too can say there's not enough love to go around, but instead, I choose to look at the universal love and know that it's infinite in its nature and is ready to come out in any situation. I am the one that needs to announce it. We give great thanks for this understanding, and we release this word to law, knowing that yes, we place it into that medium, and yes, that principle comes forth, the law comes forth and makes it grow. So we grow into rich, vibrant, loving, healthy, creative people. This is the truth for each one of us. And so it is.